I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Yeah, so I grew up in Port Stewart, up on the Antrim Coast. Absolutely gorgeous. Idyllic childhood. Still think of it as home, but I, you know, there was not a lot of work there. So I went off to university. I went to university in Yorkshire, and then I applied for jobs, and not a lot of people responded. But I was lucky enough. I got one little envelope. This was in the days of letter writing. I got one little envelope from the Belfast Telegraph. He said, "Well, you seem credible enough at least to get an interview." So I went for the job interview, and then I ultimately got the job. And so I started off there cutting my teeth as a junior reporter in the Belfast Telegraph, which was, I mean, I to this day feel so lucky that I was taught by news editors who were such skilled professionals. And it made all the difference, you know, it just anchored me.
So are those early days in what was a very difficult Belfast still with you in some ways?
I always think of myself, on the journalism side, there's a shield that you have as a reporter. You're not a participant, but you're observing with a real sense of obligation. And so when something happened, you needed to be a part of it in the sense of reporting it and telling the truth back. Yeah. And what we know from, you know, the legacy cases and all these years later is we haven't still got to the bottom of it. And I do think it's going to require journalism to get to the bottom. I still work on a bunch of cases that I think are unsettling to me because we didn't get the answer. And this is one of the challenges with daily news. You move on to the next thing. But yeah. I think when your society is being ripped apart, you feel the need to hover over it and just think for a moment or two and go, where do the facts take me? And so although I live in Canada now, the whole Irish story is, it defines me. It has to.
You were telling us earlier in your talk about the size and scale of Canada with all the different time zones and all that. Tell us about the challenges of reaching this vast country with your newspaper.
Oh, it is. It's a great question because Ireland, of course, is very vertical. So it's the one time zone. And Canada is a very horizontal country, full of regions. And it really is a mixture of regions that ultimately make up a country. So when you're in Atlantic Canada and you're dealing with issues in Newfoundland, you're dealing with, again, your geography, aren't you? You're dealing with the water, you're dealing with your fish, you're dealing with tourism, you're looking to Europe. But if you go to the other extreme on the west coast of Canada, to British Columbia and Vancouver and the interior of British Columbia, you're dealing much more with the Asian market, or you're dealing with California, and you're looking at how do you connect to that. And the guys in the east are hours away on the same time of day. You know, it's amazing. And then in the middle, you have these amazing stories around the breadbasket. I mean, the capacity of our agriculture sector is second to none. It's enormous.
Tell me about how the commercials of a newspaper business work. How do you actually make it pay?
So every single news organization on earth will have a slightly different business model. So for the Globe and Mail, ours is a subscription business. So we're a premium priced product to buy the paper and the digital subscription. So you sign up for a monthly subscription, and then you get that month's work. But we generally try and get you to sign up for 6 months or a year. Yeah. So you're making the annual promise. And then what we look at, you know, in any given day, we're a human endeavor like every other organization. Some days are better than others. Sometimes events are serious and too serious for folk to deal with. But I think it's the totality of the coverage. Are we also offering up a little bit about how you can navigate your life? So we like to think of ourselves as more of as an extension of your family, as opposed to being this sort of hierarchical notion of here's the news, listen to me, that broadcast approach. We're much more horizontal in the sense of saying, you know, we're going to give you everything from recipes to theater reviews to music reviews and book reviews on the cultural side, to dealing with the concerns you have around the dinner table, around your aging parents, around your homework, around some of the questions you might have around price of housing and cost of living, which is a huge issue in Ireland as well as in Canada. But it's also then saying, but we will also give you the news, but not just the news.
Sure.
And defining the news is important. To your earlier point around the width of the country, what matters to you is local. And so we need to make sure we're geographically represented. So we have a very strong group of bureaus. We're a premium price because we think we offer value, but we also have a high run rate because it's expensive to do journalism, which is a fundamentally inefficient business.
And also, you've got to be present in these outlying areas if you want to be relevant to them from a news point of view, and that's costly.
It's costly, and it's also critically important. If you phone in, you know it yourself. If a stranger phones you to tell you what's going on in your village today, well, you're not going to tell them a thing, or you tell them a story, but it's not true. We need to actually be out there and listening to folk and getting a sense of something that we can then amplify and tell the country. But we're also going the other way. We're telling other parts of the country, particularly rural areas or isolated areas, what is going on outside of their world so that they can connect and understand about the general ongoing discussions that are happening around the country. So, you know, the Globe's an old newspaper of long standing, but I think its critical role is the convening power and hosting the national conversation in a country that you can't possibly get your head around because of its scale.
So the politics south of the border have been aggressive, to say the least. As someone who's working in the news, I'm just wondering what your take on politics at the moment is.
Yeah, politically, the political class post-internet has had to realize that it doesn't control the levers of power in the absolute ways they did before.
Sure.
So what they're doing is they're using microphones to get noticed. And the media has a responsibility not to become stenographers and just give them blanket stages. But there's no question, you talk about the aggressive language from south of the border of the United States. What it's done is it's really focused in terms of Canada to say, okay, so we're under some form of threat here. Well, how are we going to respond? One of the interesting things that I would have said began in February or March of 2025 and continues to this day is a galvanizing sense that we're not a 51st state, that we stand alone as a friendly country, but as a country that's not prepared to just roll over. And the idea that we need to get our act together, there has been, I think it's fair to say, there's been a profound sense of drift over the last 10 years that in Canada we're not getting stuff done that we need to do. Our productivity levels are absolutely not where they need to be. And in the Prime Minister, who was running 20 points behind the official opposition leader at the time of the last election, and he came up and surprised folk by becoming Prime Minister Carney, the former Bank of England and Bank of Canada governor before that, he's an individual who was elected because he was seen to be a person with economic stewardship and a professionalism that could ensure that Canada had a brighter future. But he has got probably the impossible job.
Yeah. But he's probably the right man at the right time.
Yeah, Canada always struggles it usually has two different types of prime minister, those who last 6 months and those who last 10 years, and then we kick the bums out, as we say. He probably is there for a couple of cycles, but he also recognizes what he has to get done. And I think politicians who actually have a vision are rare. They're often responding to events. And what Prime Minister Carney is doing is saying, we're going to build, we're going to develop, and we're going to bring people along. The challenge he has is, again, with the country and Confederation, the feds have only got so much of the responsibility. The provinces also are an engine room when it comes to the economic relationship.
And the old problem of how much trade you do with America, that isn't going to be an easy or quick problem to fix, is it?
It's not going to be quick, and you see very clearly a divesting, or at least the rhetoric of divesting from the United States. But we have a very fragile supply chain. We have a real challenge to gain access to tidal waters for our oil and gas. We have an enormous part of the country that is underpopulated because of climate and the conditions in the high Arctic. But what we also have is a need to not be complacent. And a rich country, and a country that would often consider itself to be friends to all, has now had to realize that the world isn't perhaps such a pleasant place, and we're going to have to actually make some tough decisions, I would think, with the United States, but also going into new environments, pushing into Asia. And for the Prime Minister, he clearly feels very strongly about the power of middle powers and whether there is relationships with Europe, Ireland in particular, which of course he has a close affinity to, but also the notion of the Baltic states and the opportunity with Scandinavia to grow trade.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.